Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back, fellow optimists. It's Sophia Tapia here, your host on the Future Positive Podcast, a podcast from XPRIZE that aims to bring you the most future-forward topics from world leaders, creators, entrepreneurs, innovators, and changemakers who are paving the way for innovation on and off this planet we call home. Our Pride Month podcast takeover culminates this week. For the past 4 weeks, we have been bringing you a series of interviews conducted by journalist Amelia Abraham with leading figures from the LGBTQ community who are impacting our world for the better. This week, Amelia speaks to Kelly Rakowski, the CEO and founder of Lex, a queer dating app based on personal ads. Queer visibility online and coding LGBTQ platforms for inclusivity are just a couple of the topics they talk about. Glad to have you back, and now here's Amelia.
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Good. Hi, Amelia. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, thanks. Where are you talking to us from right now?
I'm in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, at a co-working space here. It's really pretty. There's lots of plants.
Amazing. And would you mind introducing yourself for our listeners?
Yes, my name is Kelly Rakowski. I'm the founder and CEO of Lex. Lex is a social platform for the queer community to meet friends, lovers, find your teammate, like soccer teammate, any kind of relationship that you want with a queer person, you can find it on Lex.
Okay, that's amazing, because I kind of thought of it as a dating app, but it sounds like it's a lot more than that.
It's a lot more, and our bigger vision is that we're building a queer social network. So we launched thinking we are a dating app, but the way that people are using Lex is just in multitudes of ways that we were not expecting. So we decided to build for the community, and we're expanding into a full social network for the full spectrum of LGBTQIA. Yeah.
Cool. And if someone went on the app, what would that experience look like? Can you kind of describe it for us?
Yeah, so right now we're still text-based. We're text-centered always. We're inspired by newspaper personal ads. So you'd enter the feed and see a lot of personals that are written with a headline and then a body copy, and then you can click on a user's profile or username and then see their profile and learn more about what they're looking for, a bit about themselves. And yeah, it's really lo-fi, and we have zero images on it right now. It's just always going to be this text-centered experience with zero swiping, matching, any kind of things like that.
Yeah, and can you maybe say why you chose it that way without images?
Yeah, I mean, the whole project was inspired by this lesbian erotica magazine called On Our Backs. It ran from the late 80s or mid 80s to the early 2000s, I believe. And it's inspired by the personal ads that were written in this erotica magazine. So we really wanted to keep this lo-fi aspect to Lex. And from that inspiration, that initial inspiration, we actually just, I built this whole platform on Instagram to start, because I was obsessed with the personals and I wanted to invite queer people to write their own. And that idea really took off. And I wanted to really keep that essence of you're just reading the newspaper or reading a feed. There's no fancy matching or anything like that kind of a lot of other dating apps use. And again, in the beginning, I was thinking of this as a dating app, but we really just wanted to react to the way that old school newspaper feeling was, where you're just sitting down and reading and kind of taking things in.
Yeah, I'd love to pan out to this genesis of Lex on Instagram, because what is so interesting, as you just said, is this mix of quite the high tech, like social media, new, what was almost kind of a new social media platform when you started,
right?
With the analog or the lo-fi that is these printed personal ads, and you were kind of putting these ads into the digital space. But to wind back a bit, you started an Instagram account, I think maybe in 2014 or 15. You
can. Oh God! Yes, 2014 November. I started an Instagram account called Herstory, and that was like basically the year that I came out. And Herstory Instagram was a place where I was doing a lot of personal research, learning about queer history and culture, specifically lesbian history and culture, and finding really cool photographs of lesbians all through the internet. And I really wanted them all in one place. So I started posting on Instagram. This was like early days, I guess, Instagram. A lot of people were using it more personal stuff and less about, and now there's everything on Instagram. But I built the community through Herstory on Instagram. People were really drawn to it because it was one place to find all this lesbian content, and it was all historic. And I was kind of just going along, living my life, finding cool books to read and finding movies, references, just like teaching myself about the history that I'd missed. And I was super obsessed with it because I had come out late. And then from there, I got a lot of press like about Herstory, and then it really just grew in terms of the Instagram followers. And from there, when I was running Herstory, I found these on the back magazines, and then I was like, wait, I have a whole group of people here. I want them to write personal ads just like they did back in the day. So then I had like a spin-off account called Personals Instagram, and they were strictly just, I was formatting these text-based personal ads in Google Docs, screenshotting them, uploading them to Instagram, and then tagging people's handles. So if you wanted to check out that person who wrote the personal ad, you'd click on their username on Instagram, see their pictures. So again, it's like you're always reading about the person first, reading about who they are, what they're looking for, their personalities, getting a sense of them before you see their image and judging them based on, I guess, image standards or attraction based on image, rather than this is more thoughtful, considered, slows you down and makes you more open to like, who cares what this person looks like potentially, because the way that they wrote their personal is so like fascinating. And I wanted to know that person. So that's how this whole thing started. And then it really took off. I couldn't keep up with the number of submissions. It was really just me running an account as a hobby, like for fun, because I was obsessed with and reading people's personal ads. It was super fun. But then I decided to push it further and build an app, because there were just so many people that wanted to write a personal. I just felt like there's a completely overlooked group of people, and I want to bring them something. So I am not from the tech world. I was a photo editor up until a year and a half ago. And I did this all like day by day learning how to run a Kickstarter. So I raised money initially to build the MVP with Kickstarter money. We raised like $47,000, and I threw fundraising parties. And then our MVP launched November 2019. And it's very much the same of our current product. And simply it was lo-fi because one of the reasons was I wanted it that way. But the second reason, we just didn't have many resources. It was me and an engineer that I found, a queer engineer that's based in Berlin. So it's just him and I, me with zero tech experience, just getting something out the door and making it as simple as possible.
Yeah, I'd love to ask you more about Lex in a moment, but just to go back to Instagram, your account had a large number of followers on Instagram. We're talking like hundreds of thousands of people. Why do you think Instagram as a platform has been so important for hidden LGBTQ plus histories or connecting LGBTQ plus people and visibility in general?
Yeah, I mean, it just became a really popular platform, Instagram. So generally, like, everyone's on there. And then I think even, like, so many of my followers aren't LGBTQ. They're just people that are interested in history or feminism or anything, just visual. I think that Instagram really was a place where a lot of different people could see your content and interact and learn about different parts of subcult. I don't know what to call it. Different communities that you wouldn't normally be interacting with. It was like opening a door, and it was an easy place. So you're seeing all these different things in one location. So it was easy to access this different world. And yeah, it was easy to find other queer accounts and people. As Instagram grew, they made it kind of easier to find like who's following who.
Yeah, one thing that's interesting there is that before Instagram was around, it was quite difficult to maybe find LGBTQ plus histories, or you really had to seek that out. And a lot of those histories weren't necessarily recorded because in the past people have had to be very secretive about their identity and their relationships due to sort of persecution or discrimination or criminalization. And also, maybe queer people who lived outside of major cities were perhaps more isolated. And Instagram gave everyone a great way to connect, and accounts like yours gave people a great way to connect. I just wondered, what was it like for you growing up when Instagram wasn't around in both of those regards?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up, I was the first of the AOL use. Like, I remember exactly where I was when I learned about AOL. So, American Online, I don't know. It's like basically instant messaging where you can be in different groups and connect with people all over the country. And that was crucial to my sanity when I was 15, 16, 17. Before I could move out of the small town I was from. At the time, and this was the mid to late 90s, I didn't really come out until I was 34, but I found people to connect with that were queer on American Online, although I was like, experimenting, maybe I was saying as bi, but I felt very isolated from any people that I could connect with. So I used the internet to find every single friend I basically had in high school. And I met my best friend the first day of art school. I convinced him to go to the same school I was going. I basically lived on the internet. I would wake up at 7:30 or be at school at 7:30, come home at 3, take a nap, and then stay up till 3 a.m. just talking to people all over the world, actually. I do remember talking to people in London, too. So I just really used the internet from basically day one to connect with people. So it's just something that I've always felt a just like real deep connection to. It helped me so much from feeling so isolated and being in a place where I had, you know, couldn't really express myself. So I definitely have like this deep love for the internet.
Yeah. And Lex has connected, well, first personals, and then Lex has connected a huge number of people. I wondered, are there any stories that stand out?
Yeah, I mean, it is really fascinating that we don't even know how many people have been connected, but there's just seemingly endless stories. From anywhere, like people connecting to go to a bird watching, be a part of a bird watching group in Central Park, to getting married, to organizing protests. So it's just, there's endless stories. But one of my favorite recently is, we also have misconnections on Lex. So if you see someone that you might have interacted with in real life, but you just didn't get a chance to get their number or were too shy to like kind of talk to them more, you can write a misconnection. And so these two people were on the gay beach in New York City, and they each wrote a misconnection about each other, and then they connected on Lex, which was like so beautiful to me. And I love the stories of people meeting. It's really, really special.
That's amazing. Is that part of that sort of tradition where maybe a newspaper has a section that sort of says, saw you on a public transport or?
Yeah. Yeah. I know that Craigslist, I mean, had it. They had a misconnection section. So you would always go to the misconnections in New York City and like see if someone talked to you about you. So it has that kind of feel. But I also think it's like, really good for queer people to have this as like, you know, we're kind of shy and awkward and sometimes too afraid to say something, and this is like an opportunity for a second chance, and it can work, it can happen.
Yeah. And something else I think important to add there is, I think when you're straight you can kind of navigate the world assuming that most other people are straight.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But when you're not straight, you're kind of sometimes wondering if someone else would be interested in you. So that's why it's really helpful.
Exactly. Yeah, that's totally the right point. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you a bit about the algorithm.
Yes.
Would you tell us a bit more?
Yes, we don't have one. We have zero algorithm. That's how lo-fi we are. So that's why I didn't even have my developer come on, because he's like, we just don't have one. Because we're like, and I'm like, it's not necessarily because we wouldn't have one. It's just like, we don't have the resources yet to really think as big as that could be. Eventually maybe we would, but I know that I'm really glad and I'm excited to listen to this podcast back, because I know there's a lot of conversations around algorithms being super problematic because they're basically built by white straight men. So it is kind of in the mission of Lex to not be that or not be like anything that is mainstream. So I'm like proud that we don't have an algorithm, and but that's not to say we won't play with that later and do it in a really thoughtful way.
It's fascinating to think about an app without an algorithm.
like, think of even how Instagram used to be, where it was whenever you posted a picture, it would just like go to the top of the feed. There was no like showing you the most popular post that day. Like, it was just time-based. Like, if you posted right now and then I made a post after you, then it would show 1, 2, 3, 4. And that's how Lex works. So if you wrote a personal at 5 o'clock and then I wrote one at 5:30, mine would be second. You know, there's no like fanciness to it, because like you might be like really popular on Lex and push to the top, etc. It's just super lo-fi.
I totally know what you're saying. It sounds like a really democratic way of doing things.
Right.
A lot of dating apps make assumptions about who we might be interested in and show us people that they think that we'd be into based on who we've already swiped. And that can be that can close things down.
Exactly. And I feel like the whole ethos of Lex and writing a personal is against all of that, because the whole point was you get to know people first by reading about them, then you see their picture. So everything is less run on the superficialness and throwaway of people's faces on apps. Yeah.
And how do you ensure that Lex stays as inclusive as possible?
Well, we're always thinking about this, and it's like centering this idea of inclusivity and accessibility. As we grow, we'll be able to expand on this as we expand our team and build a product that is super needed and something that really speaks to the community. So we always talk about how we're building directly for our community. We do a lot of user research and get a lot of feedback and listen to everything. So everyone on the team is queer, and we're consistently thinking about how to make Lex more inclusive, more accessible. These are just like a day-to-day thoughts and conversations that we're having. So Lex app is for the queer community, and by that, right now we're building for queer women, trans people, and non-binary. So we're centering those folks and building for them specifically. As we grow, we may expand out to include gay, queer men, but right now our focus is on trans people, women, and non-binary, gender non-conforming folks.
Cool. And you also mentioned accessibility there. Is there anything mm-hmm. you're thinking about in particular in terms of how to make an app more accessible?
Yeah, so our product designer is trained in accessibility design as well. So what we're doing is we're currently rethinking all of the typography that we use, the colors we use, and even the UI to make it much more accessible, because right now it's pretty not the greatest. Like I said, it's still, we're working with that minimal viable product that we launched, where none of me or my friend that was designing it had any experience in accessibility. So that was unfortunately overlooked, but we're course correcting and getting feedback on what works best for people that have low visibility or vision problems or are blind.
Ooh. And my final question is, when it comes to tech and LGBTQ plus rights and visibility, what makes you feel most positive or excited right now?
I mean, what really makes me excited is honestly the younger generation. So Gen Z, their identities are so much more fluid than previous generations, how they identify sexually, but also more than that, their gender identity. And I'm excited to build a product that really centers this group of people And it's a much wider audience than most straight white men in tech consider. So I feel really excited to build for this group of people and be able to put something out there that's completely different, that focuses on them. Because I still think, even though this is a growing community and, you know, all the corporate pride and allyship that's out there, it's still a group of people that is largely ignored, and I really want to build for them.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to the Future Positive Podcast. If you'd like to support our show, share this episode with fellow futurist friends, and remember to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Apple or wherever you get your pods. Your feedback really does help. If you missed the previous Pride Month episode with Vincent Desmond, Lucas La Rochelle, and Oz Keys, then we strongly recommend that you check them out in our feed. This podcast comes from XPRIZE, a global future positive movement of over 1 million people and rising, delivering radical breakthroughs for the benefit of humanity. Sign up to join us and support the movement that is making a change in the world 10 times faster. Whether it's lending a hand, a dollar, or an idea, we all have a role to play in making the future a better place. The only way to get the future we want is to create it ourselves. Learn more at xprize.org. See you next week.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.